Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. A chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Well, thank you, Kirby, and welcome to this first Cattlemen's Congress Conversation that's happening during the 2024 show at the OKC Fairgrounds. Two folks that we wanted to share some comments with you from. One is Bray Haven, Executive Vice President for Cattlemen's Congress. He'll offer an update on how things are going as we open up the doors, open up the barns, and get cattle into the Oklahoma City Fairgrounds. Our second guest is one of those breeds that's come in and a big, big fan of Cattlemen's Congress. We're talking about Mark Anderson, the Executive Director of the North American Limousine Foundation. He'll be joining us here in just a few moments. First, though, let's talk with Bray Haven, Executive Vice President of Cattlemen's Congress. Bray, I know there's lots of preparation to get ready for the start of the show, and things looks like, to me anyway, going well.
The New Year holiday is not going to slow us down any around here at the OKC Fairgrounds. The barns are getting filled up back there, and people are excited to be in Oklahoma City for Cattlemen's Congress. And, you know, the next couple days we'll have the barns filled up and lots of people trading cattle. So that's what we like to see, and exciting times getting started here in OKC.
The entries, you know, suggested maybe 8,000 are pretty darn close to it. Do you normally get, over the last couple of years, maybe a little bit of a handle of what percentage will actually show up? Are you seeing that this year again?
Yeah, I think it'll be a significant percentage that do show up. As we were walking through the barns today trying to, just visiting with folks or solving issues, whatever it might be, you see the barns are full. People are here. I don't think we're going to see too significant of a drop in, as far as people that don't show up. As I talk with other show managers across the country, they're saying the same things. People show up when they enter. So I think we're going to have a significant number of cattle here. We're not declining in numbers. We are growing still, and several of our breeds are still on the rise too. And so it's really good to see all the different breeds that are here and to see, you know, them interact with the other breeds. And each breed is unique in their own way, and so they're all excited to be here too.
Now, what, over two dozen breeds this year, right?
Yeah, close to 25. Actually, I think there is 25 total breeds here. We added the Highland breed this year. We've got several breeds that, you know, are maybe newer to the market or newer to the show world. The Texas Longhorn Show, it's going on right now, still happening. It's really grown. They're up over 30% from their first year. And so, you know, it's fun to see some of those breeds that haven't traditionally had a big presence in the show ring are growing. And whether it's the youth getting involved or whether it's breeders coming out and exhibiting their cattle and more breeders getting into this type of way to trade genetics and showcase what they've raised, it's really cool to see.
You mentioned genetics. Obviously, we've got sales, not just some animals, but embryos, semen, and all that.
Yeah, almost every sale combined with live lots is going to have semen and embryos as well for sale. And so, you know, they'll sell flushes and all kinds of different stuff. So it's there's going to be something here for everybody. I was walking through the barns and I already saw some of our international guests that arrived that are coming to visit with the sales and just see what cattle are here. And so hopefully some dollars exchange hands while we're here too. That's what we're here for, right? So I think these breeders really enjoy not only experience here but also the market that's here for those genetics. We'll keep selling them all through the week, so we have a sale almost every single day and sometimes two or three a day. So on top of the shows, we got sales going on. The trade show's kicked off, and so we'll have a great trade show. I saw some people walking through the barn just a second ago, and they were just here checking out the trade show and might check out some cattle while they're here. But I think that's something that we can offer just the general public or people that might just be listening or maybe coming through Oklahoma City or coming up to visit or whatever, just stop by. It's still free admission, and we just encourage people to come check out what's going on with Cattlemen's Congress here in 2024 almost.
So. Yeah, really. Two things on the trade show. I mean, there's a lot of Western bling again.
Plenty of that to go around, plenty of Western bling. There's lots of cool stuff back there, and we want to be able to offer that experience to not only our exhibitors but anybody else that might be stopping by and visiting Cattlemen's Congress. And so we've got a great team that's put that trade show together, and it's filled up too. You know, we sell out our trade show every single year, so it's a hot commodity.
Any particular feedback you've gotten thus far from the actual exhibitors? What do they tell you here for 2024?
I think the exhibitors so far have been excited about the improvements that the facilities have made. You know, we've got a great partnership with OKC Fairgrounds and continuing to see the improvements made, whether it be on the, you know, logistics side with electricity upgrades that we made back in the barns. So they've made some lighting upgrades as well, and we're going to continue that into the future, and we're excited to keep our partnership with here with OKC Fairgrounds. And obviously, you know, the biggest thing is that's going on is the new Coliseum that's being built. And so hopefully, you know, I don't know that we'll be in by next year, but that's coming down the pipe too. So that'll give us some more flexibility on maybe even potentially offering to some more folks or other different breeds that could be here. But right now the barns are full. So come down to Cattlemen's Congress and check us out.
Thanks, Bray. Bray Haven with Cattlemen's Congress. Of course, you can check out the schedule and a lot more if you go to the website, cattlemenscongress.com. Part two of today's podcast, going to have joining us now, Mark Anderson. Mark is the executive director of the North American Limousine Foundation. And Mark, you guys are really all in on Congress. You're even having your annual meeting here in Oklahoma City.
Yes, since you guys started this thing down here in Oklahoma, I think, believe it was back in 20. This is the third year now we've actually had our annual meeting. This is one of our better shows for turnout. We've got a lot of members through the states of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, and other places. But this is close to home for a good portion of our membership, so it's very well attended. It's been a blessing.
Tell me a little bit about kind of the state of the breed as far as limousine is concerned.
It's in good a shape as it's been probably in the last 5 years, and the genetic progress our breeders have made has been tremendous. It's fun to be a part of it right now. We're excited. About 6-7 years ago, we got to be a part of International Genetic Solutions and their weekly single-step cattle evaluation. Mm-hmm. We've got people that really pay attention to their herd book and trying to improve their performance, and recently really started trying, I'd say 7-8 years ago, trying to chase and improve on some traits that we needed to improve upon. They fixed their docility issues really about 15 years ago, and they developed an EPD and went from kind of last to close to first. But the nice thing with the technology and the genomics, they've been able to improve their marbling. We're never going to marble like Angus. We don't want to. But we bring a lot of ribeye. We bring a lot of feed efficiency advantages and the cross and the heterosis you get for these commercial feed yards. They make excellent cattle through a feed yard. And we're excited about that. We've seen kind of our marbling EPD the last 4 or 5 years jump up, you know, a good 0.25 to 0.3. And in that cross, whether it's Angus, Red Angus, we feel they make good cattle for the commercial cattle or feeding industry and then the packing industry as well.
Right. When you look at the breed today, say 5-10 years ago, it seems that you're really positioning yourself as a good cross with several of the major other breeds.
That's been the goal, because the reality of it, you know, if you took all the breed associations and what they register annually, and I think I talked about it in the state of the breed, you know, if we're going to slaughter 650,000 cattle a week, you throw them all together, that's kind of like the annual registrations of everybody combined. Mm. And, you know, you're providing genetics for, you know, roughly 28 to 30 million cattle a year on the annual slaughter through these seed stock associations, and really with the advancement in genomics, performance data, the national cattle evaluations that all, you know, Angus Hereford and IGS use, we've never had the kind of tools to make genetic progress as fast as we've been able to as the last 5 years.
One phrase that you mentioned in your comments to the breeders here at the limousine meeting, you've been out to some feedlots and you saw a sea of black. I guess that's one of those realities of today, isn't it?
It is. I mean, because there's a lot of good red and white cattle and smokes and yellows, but at the end of the day, CAB's done a wonderful job with their product. You know, they've been in that, I don't know, 30, 40 years now, and that's their advantage. And we look at it, and they've influenced a lot of these continental breeds. You know, homozygous testing for not only polled, but black hide color is kind of taken over. And I've been through enough feed yards here the last 2 years, it's amazing to me at what they look like now as compared to what they were in 15 years ago. So we kind of feel it's an advantage. We're one of the few continentals that can make those black-hided cattle. and maybe give them a little more horsepower, we hope, if we use the right bulls in the cross.
And one of your advantages, the quality of the mama cow you're able to produce.
That's where you're surprised. We got the IGS on the crossbreed EPD comparison. Our maternal data looks really good in Limousine. We got a little bit more moderate-sized cow, which is kind of critical for high feed cost. And, you know, we watch our milk EPD. We want adequate, but we get in a hard cow country where we don't have lush grass. You know, if we got a milk EPD kind of right there around 20, 21, that means it's a moderate-sized cow, and I don't have to break myself feeding that big-frame cow in this day and age. And I can cross up and get some horsepower and genetics on the sires I'm using. So we think we've got some real advantages there.
Where's the breed going? In other words, brand new year here. What's happening the next couple, two or three years, you think, for Limousine?
It's going to be more expansion into the commercial cattle industry is what Archie is. We want more people using some of these Limflex and purebred Limousine bulls, where they want to make a half blood or a quarter blood, just to get those cattle a little more horsepower so we can make them bigger. I mean, we're feeding cattle up to 15, 16 pay weight. That's shrunk after four. And I know from feeding cattle that sometimes that works better when you got them crossed up, you know, in a Continental with those Angus breeds. And it lets you roll your break even back farther. And you need that performance and efficiency so your conversion rates and your cost of gains don't tip over and kill you or break you.
You mentioned the Limflex part of your breed. Kind of just a little of a tutorial about how that all came about and what it is, what it means to the breed today.
Well, it's really critical because it kind of let us put our foot back in the door. We're not the old style. Maybe, Lemmy, you think about 20, 30 years ago. And the Limflex hybrid can be anywhere from 25 to 75% Limousine on there. And the balance has got to be Angus or Red Angus. Okay. And really, you look in the country, a lot of those guys will take a half-blood bull, and they just want a little shot, and they'll take a quarter-blood, you know, Lemmy calf, three-quarter Angus. And then we've found what that does. When they look at our purebred population, some say, I need a little more, maybe ribeye. I need to improve my yield grade, still retain my marbling. And then that mostly comes from the Angus or Red Angus side. They'll reach up and grab some purebred bulls as well, and they work.
For the for your breeders, for your seed stock operators that are part of the North American Limousine Foundation, what is the attitude right now? What's the mood of the ship, I guess?
Well, the mood of the ship is pretty positive, but it's a tough environment no matter what sector you're in. All the inflation, feed costs, fuel, fertilizer, and the only thing you can really do is try to control your fixed costs the best you can, but it also means pounds or dollars. You got to take the most genetic potential in your cow herd to pay those bills, especially when a calf's worth $3 on a 6 weight like he was there for a little bit in July and August. That's a lot of money. And if I can pop an extra 50 pounds of my weaning weights by using the cross and using good quality sires, that pays back in spades because you create demand for your feeder cattle when you're selling commercial bulls, because those cattle typically are the ones with the best gain and conversion rates, low cost of gain cattle at the feed yard level, and they got to work at the packing house. And if they don't do that, you know, you're kind of spinning your wheels. So,
Mark, appreciate your time. Best of luck here at Cattlemen's Congress.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys having us on, and we really enjoy being down here.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Anderson with the North American Limousine Foundation. You can learn more about the breed by going to their website, www.nalf.org. That's all of our time for today's Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. I'm Ron Hayes. We'll see you down the road or in the barns.